is. Would you turn in your Bibles with me tonight to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Hope everybody's had a good day today, an encouraging day. The Lord's meeting your needs. Very thankful for God's provisions, God's grace, and all that He does for us daily. We had a wonderful Good News Club today. Thank you for praying. We got two more clubs left. So this year is, boy, it's winding down pretty quickly. But today, for whatever reason, the Lord saw fit, I guess through encouragement and prayers and just prompting people's hearts, but we had 84 young people in the gymnasium today. And so that was exciting. It was encouraging. And they responded well to the Bible time and the verse and all of those things together. We had several respond in the invitation, and I don't believe any salvation decisions were made today, but I certainly sensed God's Spirit working in their hearts, and for that I'm grateful, so very grateful. And it's been a past couple good days. You know, after Easter, it was, of course, Sunday evening we had off. But Monday, Joanna and I and the four kids took off for a quick camping trip. We had decided to meet John, that's Joanna's brother, and his wife and their four kids. And at Elijah Clark State Park, we were able to meet there and spend a couple days together, and it was a lot of fun. And would you say, well, what'd you do, brother? I survived. That's what I did. It was good, though. We had a good time, and the kids had a blast. We didn't get out in the water. It was just cold and didn't get in the water. I think the kids got their feet wet at one time, but that was about it. But we did. We had a good time. Little Chloe hung in there. Of course, being 19 months old, she was a trooper. Got a little cold there at night, but nevertheless, we were able to work through that and get through it. And so I want to tell you tonight, I am looking forward to my own bed. I'm telling you, that's one thing, folks. I know some of you don't like camping, but I'm telling you, listen, it'll help you, because you go camping, you appreciate your bed that much more. You just say, praise the Lord has provided a great bed for me, and it'll just help you appreciate it, those things. But nevertheless, we're glad to be back, and you know, I felt like that was a little primer getting ready for the men's camp out. Boy, I'm getting excited about that. I think there's about from 26 to 30 of us going out there. So you ladies begin praying now, all right, that it'll be a great time for us, that we'll behave ourselves and just have a good time. Timothy, I don't know. I kind of thought about it. Some of these, especially young men, might have some older men that want to do it too. But I thought we're going to try to maybe get something in those feeling adventurous and maybe do a night hike of some sort. You know, a night hike on the AT. Doesn't that sound exciting? None of you responded to that. Yes. Yes. There's the... And the response, yes, that sounds good, man. Headlamps, you know, going out on the night hike, scaring the little boys half to death. Well, I don't know about that, but it'll be a little chilly up there by that, I think, at that time. But yeah, we certainly are looking forward to that. That's coming up at the end of this month and getting those details together. And I'm sure we'll have some wonderful memories there. And it'll all be really, really good. And then we got the ladies going. We got several of them going up to the Wilds this coming weekend, Friday and Saturday. If anybody is planning on cooking Friday night, please let me know. I'm bringing four children, okay? And I'll be at your house because my wife will be gone. And but no, nevertheless, we're gonna do our best. It'll be good times. It'll be good times. All right, enough of that nonsense. Would you turn to Philippians chapter 4, and let's look tonight again at our verses we've been just gazing on, meditating upon, and asking the Lord to help us in our thinking, asking the Lord to help us how He has made a way for us to guard the peace that only God can give. You see, we talked about the uniqueness and the true power of God's peace that is to guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Notice with me Philippians chapter 4, and we'll begin with verse 4. It says, Rejoice in the Lord always, Paul says. And again, I say, rejoice. No doubt about it, Paul is wanting to for us to be people of joy. Verse 5, let your moderation, that's your gentleness, your self-control, your just discipline of the heart and mind. It says, be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand, the Lord is present, the Lord is near in His presence and in His coming. We need to just keep that in mind. And he tells us here, be careful for nothing. Don't be anxious about anything, Paul is saying, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then this is where he says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep, or shall guard. There's that citadel, there's that fortress around your heart, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It's the peace of Jesus that guards us against everything that wants to rob us of that peace. In verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Let's pray together. Father, we do need most definitely the teachings of Scripture tonight. We certainly need the Holy Spirit to be the teacher. And Lord, I'm asking that for every one of us in this room to take evaluation of our own hearts and minds, whether there's been intruders in our hearts today or this week that have been robbing us of the peace that only You can give. And Lord, as You have provided a way for us to be totally protected against those enemies, against those perpetrators, against those intruders, I do pray that You would even give some people liberty tonight and freedom. And Lord, that You would encourage, and Lord, You would just bring a spirit of revival in this meeting that only You can do. May You receive all the honor and all the glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We have studied about the protectors of peace. You'll remember the first protector of peace we looked at in verse 6 is what? What was the first protector that we have against the robbers of peace? Someone? Prayer. We have the ministry of prayer. It's very obvious that we seek the Lord and He gives us that opportunity to rest upon Him, to trust Him with our burdens, to bring things to Him, and to seek Him for forgiveness. Even in this sense, what we were singing earlier together, the fact that we have sin that will rob us of peace. And what we have to do is we've got to get that right with the Lord as soon as possible. And you know, that is something the Lord will do immediately when we confess that sin. He restores that very peace that He gives. And then we notice not only prayer is a protector, but as we go through, in verse 6, there's also, we see thanksgiving, and we talked about another fortress and guard against worry or anxiety that tries to take away our peace. What can we do? The second P is prayer. Secondly, praise. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him all the time. Praise the Lord. Even when you don't feel like it, praise the Lord. And I'm grateful for how the power of praise can protect us
from the robbers of peace. They try to intrude. They try to invade. They try again to take all that they can. But we can counter those things with praise. You know, I don't know if you make it a habit to keep music going on in your house that honors Christ, but I highly recommend it. I highly recommend that you make your home an atmosphere of praise, an atmosphere of giving thanksgiving to the Lord. And it will help you. It will encourage you when you get in your car. Get a hold of those things that are going to just honor the Lord, and it will help you against the robbers of peace. But then thirdly, we've been looking at not only prayer and praise, but what is this third one we've been looking at together? We've started in verse 8. Our what? Starts with a P. Our perspective. You could also say our pondering. Okay? Our pondering, what we think upon daily. You'll notice you have six characteristics that Paul gives there in verse 8. Okay, so you have true, that's one. You have honest, that's two. You have just, that's three. You have pure, that's four. Lovely, that's five. Good report, there's six. I kind of like to kind of give these guys maybe just in my thinking and in the illustration of a citadel, a fortress, a guard is the fact I'll call these guys our patrolmen. These are ones that are patrolling and keeping guard against the wrong types of thoughts that try to get in. These are the patrol guys, and they're really good. They're sharpshooters. I'm here to tell you, if you let them do their job, they will do it very well, very efficiently, and effectively. When you and I submit to these very characteristics, and notice what he uses with every one of them, that word, you see it in your Bible, whatsoever things. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means this. Whatever you can find in life that are these things. Whatever you can find in life that are these things that have these characteristics, that's what you want to focus on. And we know that the ultimate fulfillment of all these things is Jesus Christ. And we understand that. But we also understand that Paul says whatsoever things, I mean things in life that you go through daily, the things you're going through in your trial right now and with your parenting or grandparenting or with your job, with your boss. I mean, whatever you're going through in everything, let your thoughts be governed by these guys right here. They'll help you. They'll protect you. They're your friend. They honor the Lord. They protect you. They protect your mind. They protect your heart. Let's look at one here tonight. We've looked at true. We looked at that one last time, how we ought to make sure we don't go through life just speculating, going off hearsay, basically allowing those things that we don't know 100% to govern us, and how we need to be careful and making sure that it is true, 100% true. And we talked about that we know that we can find that in the Word of God. We always tell the kids at Good News Club, how true is the Bible? And the kids come back and say, 100% true. And you know, I believe as adults, we got to understand that and practice that. I can let the Word of God speak to me, can read it, meditate on it. It's 100% true. But let's look at this next one. Notice with me, whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are honest. Now, this is an interesting word here. It, you know, at face value, perhaps you may initially think that it is only speaking of that which is, again, similar to the one before, true. You say, hey, he's an honest person.
you think, okay, he's going to be a truthful person. I believe it implies that for sure, but I believe it goes deeper than that. This word honest is talking about that which is honorable. Honorable. When Paul is talking about this patrolman, this one that guards the heart, this word honest carries the idea of things that are noble, things that are elevating, that will lift you up and not drag you down into the darkness. It speaks of, again, that which is not base. The things we are hearing today constantly, we're being fed a flood of negativity. The media, Hollywood, they highlight and they emphasize the worst of the worst of society. Okay? That's what they focus on. And what we got to understand is that when it comes to our thoughts, when it comes to what our pondering is, you know, we have to make sure that it is honest. It's honorable. Is it honoring to the Lord? You know, it's interesting. The same word that's used for honest here is used to describe the old men in the church, in the local church, the elderly men that are grave. They're sober minded. It's that same word here. It's also the same word that describes deacons. That idea of being serious minded as well. Dignity, having a dignity about you and in your thoughts. And so what really that we battle a lot in today's society is, again, what the world wants us to think about. You know what the world wants to do? They want us to focus and feed on the cesspool of iniquity that we see surrounding us daily. Is that true? That's what the world wants us to focus on. If you don't believe that, you could easily take a look at New York Times bestsellers just taken over the past year. What do they focus on? Some of the best ones, the top sellers, have been books written on things that are just simply dishonorable. And perhaps it's scandals. And people get all hyped up about it, and they feed on that junk. And that's why, you know, whether it's Fox News or CNN or your Instagram or Twitter feed, it doesn't matter, Facebook, that's why you get all these things that pop up. And a lot of them is just iniquity. And it wants you to focus on that. I mean, I think of scandals like, you know, when Tiger Woods was going through all he was going through. He was a young man at the time, at the top of his career, top of his life and success in world's terms. As a great golfer, had a beautiful wife and beautiful children. And then he gets sucked into these affairs. He made his own decisions. He made his choices. But it was just devastating to him, devastating to his family, his wife, his children, for these affairs with these women that were known as porn stars and all this. And you know what the world does? The world, they don't say this, but they celebrate it. They want everybody to be intrigued by it. Read the latest news article. What's the latest? What's this saying? And you know what it's doing? It's trying to take your mind on things that are simply dishonorable. And what we got to do as God's people, we have to make a decision now that we can look at news. We should look at the news, but you got to make a decision right now that there are certain articles that you're just not going to click on. Because it's going to cause your mind to focus on that which is simply iniquity. It's doing you no good. It's not elevating your mind to the things that God wants you to focus on. I mean, we could go through all kinds of examples. And we have to renew this daily. I just found myself recently, I'm being transparent with you because I hope you guys know now I got the same flesh you have. And so I struggle with the same sins you struggle with, maybe in a different way. We all have our weakness and struggles. But I was intrigued by this recent double murder from this lawyer in South Carolina. And I caught myself wanting to know more of what was going on. How did this happen? How do they know it's him? And I caught myself just my mind and my heart getting pulled right in where I wanted to know more things about it. And I found myself meditating on that which was not honest in this context. So my encouragement to you tonight, brethren, is that the things that you focus on, the things that you are listening to, feeding your mind, meditating on, reading, make sure that it's honest, it's honorable, and it doesn't focus on people's mistakes, people's failures, people's sin. God help us when God's people get a delight on reading and thinking upon other people's sin. That ought not be, brethren. Let's make it a decision that that's not going to be who we are. Next article. Let me get something that's going to be true and honest. If it's going to be going into details and everything, hey, headlines usually say enough. Am I right? The headlines usually say enough. Okay, I need to pray for them. I need to pray for that situation. I don't need the details. Don't give me the details because that's not going to help my peace. I have a hard enough time handling Brinson's sin. I don't need to be trying to handle everybody else's sin. Honest. It'll help us. But not only honest, but let me go ahead and cover this next one. He says, get anything, and he's going to see at the end how we're going to think on these things. But he says, okay, true, and that which is honorable, honest, okay, sober, dignity. But then he says, whatsoever things are just. Now, this word just here is, we see it used throughout the Word of God and in different contexts. In this context, it's not talking about that which is judicial or in the judicial sense. But this is what it's talking about, that which is right. Now, here's how you can, I think, break this definition down of what is just when you and I are thinking upon things in life. It's this. Is it in conformity with all of God's standards? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are just. Let that patrolman be on that. And when somebody comes in and is trying to break through to your heart and mind on things that are not lining up with the standard of God's Word, he should be stopped at the door. You're not getting in. I want to think and meditate upon what is going to be in conformity with God's standards. Now, I'm just going to preach, I'm just preaching a little bit tonight. I think this is what we all need. I've been transparent with you. I can get sucked in just like the rest of you, the rest of us. We do it. But think upon this. how much of what comes through our TVs is just? What you're watching on Netflix and what you're watching on the sitcoms and what you're watching on the reality TV shows, is Hollywood promoting life that conforms with the standards of our great God and King Jesus Christ? No. So, brethren, my point is to you, you're going to be led by the Holy Spirit on what's right for you, okay? I'm not here to give you a list of pastor-approved TV shows. That's not my job. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to preach the Word. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit guide you in this. Now, it wouldn't hurt my feelings a bit if you came to me and said, Pastor, what do you think about this TV show? Well, I'll tell you one of the things I do, that Joanne and I, when we're going to watch a movie or something, we go to a resource by what's Dobson's ministry? Yeah, but what's the name of his ministry? Focus on the Family does a thing called Plugged In. And I think someone said it, Plugged In. And you go to it, it basically tells you what to expect in these TV shows or the movie that's coming out. It gives you an opportunity to see, okay, what they recommend for family, whatnot. It's just a way of doing it. But anyway, I say all that to say this. You know, when we watch those things, I'm telling you, you may not realize it, but it will rob you just like that of your peace. Of just being at peace with God. And I hope that we will let this patrolman do what he's going to do. He's going to lead us to live up to the standards of God. It doesn't happen on accident. How many shows do we know that really show a husband and wife Christian relationship? Maybe someone knows something here that recently they came out with. I can't think of much other than, A Little House on the Prairie. They honored each other, you know. Maybe you can think of some others. But that's not what Hollywood wants to do. That's not what the world, that's not what Satan, that's not what this flesh likes. My flesh and your flesh likes drama. The flesh likes sin and likes to see those things, likes to see people fight and bicker, likes to see those types of things, and it robs us of our peace. And can I just say this? Our young people are downstairs. God help them. They're scattered across this building. They're downstairs. Let me speak to some moms and dads just for a moment. I love you, and I know you love me. You pray for me. I'm going to pray for you. But God has called you and me to be the gatekeepers of our young people's hearts and minds. And the stuff that you allow and I allow to come through my TV, through my radio, is going into their little hearts and minds. God's going to hold you accountable and me accountable. And we got to be willing. We better be those gatekeepers of putting those things that we can tell our kids, honey, this is honest. This is just what we're watching. We believe it's honorable. And we believe that it is in conformity with the way God wants us to live out our lives. And you say, well, can we watch or listen to anything? Well, of course you can. There's a lot of stuff out there, but you got to be discerning. I have to be discerning. You have to be balanced. Let the Holy Spirit lead you, or else the peace will be gone. I guess what I'm saying is this. The ugly way of life seems to win the day in our world. And there's something, as someone said, there's something in human nature that is fatally attractive to the ugliness of sin. And that's where God's people, filled with God's Spirit, combat that. And we say, no, not on my watch. I'm not going to allow this filth in my heart and mind where it's robbing me of the peace of God. I cannot allow this. And I do believe that the Lord will help you and me to have the type of thinking that is true and honest and that's just, it's right, by the way we live out daily with a sense of renewal and commitment to Him. And I do believe it will help us keep our peace with the Lord. Would you pray with me? Father, thank You for the power of Your Spirit. And Lord, I know that there are so many things that want to rob me of my peace. And I just pray tonight, Lord, that there will be decisions made. Your people who are seeking to honor You and just trying to be discerning. They got parents. They got children, and their parents of the children and at different ages, and trying to be diligent. I pray, God, for all of us, that maybe there's some decisions that may need to be made tonight about something that needs to go, something that needs to be added, something that needs to change, so that we can have faults that build us up and build our children up to honor You. Lord, help us now by Your power and by Your grace. I do pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.